I'm Dr. Brian Goldman, host of the CBC podcast, The Dose. Each week, we answer health topics in a smart and sometimes counterintuitive way you won't hear anywhere else. Like, what's the least amount of exercise I can do to get the benefits? Which psychedelics can improve my mental health? And how can I check for cancer if I don't have a family doctor? Top experts help me bring you what you need to know in plain language in about 20 minutes. Find The Dose on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hi, I'm Ian Hanemansing. Welcome to Checkup's Ask Me Anything podcast. On this edition, our AMA about coffee, energy drinks, and caffeine.
Caffeine is definitely something that I've been wary of, not taking too much of it.
That's the biggest reason why I stopped drinking coffee is not because I wanted to do like this New Year's new me type of thing. I just didn't want something to have that much control over me where I felt like I had to have it every single day.
Last time I had an energy drink, it was on a drive I had to do from Calgary to Whitehorse in one shot. It was effective, but I was buzzing.
The average coffee drinker in Canada consumes over 2 cups of coffee a day. Those numbers do come from a survey by the Coffee Association of Canada, but if you drink coffee, pretty easy to believe. And coffee not the only way that people get caffeine. Energy drink sales in Canada are increasing, according to the market research firm Euromonitor. Your questions about coffee, energy drinks, or caffeine are the focus of our AMA. Our guest is Andy DeSantis, a registered dietitian with a private practice in Toronto. Here are a few highlights from the show. Andy, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. So let's start with coffee. I'm sure we'll hear from callers who have lots of questions about how much is too much. But this is one of those things that I feel like every couple of months I see a news report on a study that sometimes contradicts what I think I read 2 months before. What does the science say about whether coffee is bad for us or not?
Well, it's a great question, and it's not the easiest question to answer because it's very context specific. For example, you know, in specific health conditions, you know, having a couple cups of coffee a day can actually help. Long-term studies show that a couple of cups of coffee might reduce risk of things like fatty liver disease and dementia and even type 2 diabetes, right? So it really is context dependent. You know, moderate doses generally are considered okay, but individual variation is a real thing. And some people don't respond as well to certain doses as others do.
And I think one of the things with, well, there are many things with coffee, but first of all, it's easy to lose, I say this as a coffee drinker, easy to lose track of how much coffee we're drinking. I remember going to Japan a few years ago and going to the McDonald's where I was staying and ordering coffee in the morning, and the cups were tiny. And these weren't espresso drinks. This was actually drip coffee. So I had to adjust, you know, classic North American, and order 2. And then I got to admit, eventually 3 coffees at a time, just to get, you know, the equivalent of what I would get here in Canada. So I think that there are probably some people who drink more coffee than they realize because the servings are so big. And then there are the people who put all kinds of stuff in their coffee, right? Like, the, you know, double, double, triple, triple. And then you're dealing not just with coffee, but cream and sugar. You know, as a dietitian, what's your perspective on all of that?
Well, it's a good question. You're absolutely right. Size does matter. And for anyone who is, you know, really curious about where they fall in terms of their total caffeine intake, I would, and especially if they're purchasing coffee out, I would take a closer look and see if that information is available to them for the specific, you know, retailer they purchase from. Because a large coffee in you know, in certain places could really be 2 cups. So that's not 1 cup anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So that is a very, very good point. And look, I mean, the extent to which people modify their coffee, you know, it depends, like a splash of milk, a little bit of honey, something like that. Hard to say that's going to be detrimental. But yes, if you're regularly drinking heavily customized drinks, it really just depends on the individual and how that fits into the totality of their routine, right? There, you know, a theme today as questions come in is there's going to be a massive amount of individual variation in terms of how people use coffee, how they respond to coffee, and so on, right?
Yeah, you know, one thing I guess before we go to the phones, I want to ask you about is, I know a lot of people are very uncomfortable with feeling dependent on caffeine. So whether it's, you know, if they don't have their coffee, they really feel it, which is the way I feel. I have one big coffee in the morning, another one at noon. And I got to tell you, if I don't have either one of those coffees, I'm craving that cup of coffee. Some people feel the same way about energy drinks. What are the, I don't know if danger signs is too strong a word, Andy, but at what point should we be concerned that maybe we're too dependent on caffeine?
Look, it's a good question, a tough one to answer. You know, what I'll start by saying is that, you know, the effects that caffeine have on the body are unique. Like, only caffeine does what caffeine does, right, to a certain extent. Now, there are a lot of factors around how someone feels in the morning, in the afternoon, you know, in terms of the quality of their sleep, the quality of their diet, right? So there's a lot of room for exploration. But, you know, some telltale signs that maybe caffeine intake is above a level that's suitable for someone could be irritability, jitteriness, you know, compromised sleep, things like that might dictate that maybe caffeine intake is more than it should be. But look, whether or not someone has a coffee in the morning is only one of a number of factors, including hydration, quality of their diet, quality of their sleep, that influence how they feel, right? So I think there's balance there to be considered. But yes, caffeine, you know, caffeine plays a role. And the reason you feel differently when you have caffeine versus when you don't is largely because, again, as I said, only caffeine does what caffeine does.
You can also text us your question, which is what Daisy Weirin has done. She's in Halifax. And here's her question, Andy. Is it okay to drink coffee on an empty stomach? I love it first thing in the morning before breakfast, but worry that it might be hard on my system, even though I feel fine after. Andy, what would you say to Daisy?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the proof is in the pudding there. If you've been drinking coffee on an empty stomach and you feel no, you know, negative digestive or gut health consequences as a result, that's a pretty good sign. And I'll add one thing is that coffee is a very abundant source of these compounds called polyphenols. Now, scientists believe that those compounds actually positively influence our gut bacteria, right? So if anything, for many people, coffee can have a positive influence on their gut microbiome. And again, for this caller's experience, if all is going well, I don't see a reason to be concerned in the least.
David Bibbings, who's calling us from Vancouver. Hi, David.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling. What's your question for Andy?
Yeah, I just had a quick, something to get an opinion on caffeine pills. I sometimes use a caffeine pill as opposed to drinking a cup of coffee. I find that, you know, they can kind of help give me that perk, that kind of wake me up effect without getting the highs and lows of maybe a cup of coffee. I think it might have something to do with kind of the prolonged release. But I was just wondering if there's any kind of positive or negative side effects to having a caffeine pill instead of taking a full cup of coffee.
Yeah, and before I bring Andy in, David, let me ask you at least one follow-up question. How do you feel when you take that pill?
Yeah, I find I don't quite get the immediate high, and then later on the crash. I find it can generally be kind of just a more cleaner, sense of readiness or buzz, if you want to call it. So just kind of a cleaner experience overall. That's a bit more mellow leading in and a bit more mellow leading out as well, as opposed to, yeah.
Yeah, and do you have any idea what the amount of caffeine that's in the pills?
I believe they're around 100 milligrams.
Okay.
Some brands vary a little bit, but generally they're around 100 milligrams.
Okay, really interesting, David. Andy, what do you think?
That's a very, very interesting experience. You know, in a lot of research, caffeine in that form, like in pill form, is used, and especially in sports research for performance purposes. So it actually ends up getting used in that way. Now, for you personally, I think there's a few things to consider, which is the dosage of caffeine that you were getting from coffee. How big was the coffee you were having versus the capsule? I think that's something worth considering. And then the only other thing worth noting, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's great that you're able to get that benefit in that way from using a pill rather than drinking coffee itself. I can't say that would be the universal experience, that everybody would experience it in that way. But I will say, though, coffee, you know, as a beverage, for those who listen to that with interest, I mean, certainly they could try and compare the experience. Coffee as a beverage also, like I said earlier, has a large amount of unique polyphenol compounds. So that's something to consider too, right? It's not just the caffeine, but you know, it's a unique experience. I mean, caffeine taken in that way, if anything, from the studies I've seen, it actually could be absorbed and activated you know, more quickly, if anything. So it's a very interesting experience. And again, it really just speaks to the, you know, again, the personalization and the uniqueness of people's experiences with caffeine.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things I find interesting, Andy, from David's call. One is I just enjoy the coffee experience so much, the smell of it, the taste of it, I wouldn't want to give that up for caffeine pills. But the other thing is he's the second person who's mentioned a crash after having coffee, which is not something I'd ever heard of until today, and certainly not something that I experienced. So it's one of the nice things about hearing different people's experiences. We got an email from Catherine Hamill, and here's what she said. My urologist suggests to stop drinking coffee or at least reduce the amount I drink so that I might control urgency and frequency when it comes to bladder control. I miss my coffee, but it really works. Do you want to weigh in on that, Andy?
Yeah, I'll say two things to that. I think, you know, the idea that caffeine is like a strong diuretic, I don't think is really, you know, borne out by all the latest research. However, potentially in large amounts. So again, it depends how much this individual is consuming, and then depending on the individual themselves, right? So I think on the whole, moderate, you know, intake of caffeine, what is that, 2 to 4 cups of coffee a day? I don't think that's a big risk factor to dehydrate someone or cause them undue trips to the bathroom. But in this case, this person's getting, you know, specialized guidance from a specialist physician, and it works for them. Fair enough.
I am speaking to you at a moment of grave crisis.
I'm Jeff Turner, and this is Recall. It's a series about history, not the ancient past, but history that's still hot to the touch. In this first season, I explore a revolutionary political movement that brought a modern democracy to the brink. You can find Recall, How to Start a Revolution, on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and you know better than me, bodies and personal experience are really complicated, right? And what affects one person doesn't necessarily affect the other person in exactly the same way. Randy Sims is in Kimberley, British Columbia. He also emailed a question. He says, my 14-year-old is addicted to energy drinks like Prime. He constantly consumes 2 to 3 a day, and he uses those drinks as pre-workouts. What should I do to get him off that? Andy?
Oh, that's a big question, given that with adolescents are not the easiest to control their behaviors. Now, there's a few layers there. Okay, so first of all, look, caffeine is a pretty well known performance aid for physical performance for team sports. So a moderate amount, right, before a workout. Now, I'm not saying that an energy drink is necessarily, if you ask the sports scientists, I don't think that is necessarily their A1 form to access caffeine before a workout, which is, I'll put that out there. But I mean, caffeine is known to have some performance benefit. Now, when you say 2 to 3 energy drinks, it really depends on the size of the drink, because if it's a smaller can versus a larger can, that affects the caffeine intake. I think in this situation, all you can do is urge moderation, urge the usage of this product as far away from bedtime as possible, because I think, you know, for young people particularly who have higher sleep needs than adults, right? You know, so adolescents, maybe 8 to 10 hours of sleep, whereas adults, 7 to 8 hours. And obviously, you know, excessive caffeine intake can compromise sleep. I think that is where the conversation could be had. I don't think it's going to be necessarily easy, because if it's a teenager, to go cold turkey. Teenagers, adolescents are not the easiest to convince. Now, if you have one energy drink in the context of a decent balanced diet, I, as a dietitian, I'm not concerned about that. And, you know, we always have to be open to the conversation between fun and functionality with our food choices. So I don't know this individual and the nuances of the routine. So it's hard for me to comment beyond that. But as a general point, that's what I would say.
Let's go to Rosemary Miles, who's in Winlaw, British Columbia. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good, thank you.
Excellent. What's your question for Andy?
Okay, well, I had was wanting to share my experience mm-hmm. with coffee.
Mm-hmm.
In the mid-70s, I started to notice that I wouldn't be able to sleep if I had coffee, say, in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, and it got so that it was most just any time of the day eventually. Mm-hmm. And I found that it was extremely addictive to mm-hmm. get off it. Like, it took me over 2 years.
Wow.
And all I'd have to do is smell it when I'd go to a parent-teacher's meeting or something yes. like that, smell it down the hall, and I'd immediately want it.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to get off. One time, eventually I did get off it, and oh, yes, a student nurse in the early 80s, mm-hmm. We had a class about it one time, and there was a whole list of things that it causes, mm-hmm. like detrimental, including kidney stones, high blood pressure, and I can't remember the whole list yeah. now because it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And then one time at a meeting I went to, I hadn't drunk coffee in a while, and I was told at the end of the meeting that there was this decaf coffee that was left over mm-hmm. and needed to be used up, and I had a couple of cups. Anyway, I think it turned out it wasn't decaf.
Yeah.
And I was hearing pounding of my heart in my ear, and mm-hmm. I got faint. And almost passed out.
All right. Well, Rosemary, let me do you have a last thought on that?
Well, I haven't drunk it in many years.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, there's so many other drinks one can have, like mm-hmm. herbal teas.
Yeah.
There's a lot of selection in yeah. herbal teas, and with ones that don't have caffeine, and many of them have okay. medicinal purposes.
All right, Rosemary, you know what? I don't want to sound rude, but let's cut it off there, if that's okay. I want to squeeze in one more call before the end of the Ask Me Anything. Diane Doan is in Halifax. Hi, Diane.
Yes, hi. Hi. I just want to ask, is it the case that if you don't drink very much coffee and don't have very much caffeine or even chocolate, does it mean that your body takes a longer time to metabolize that? Or if you drink lots of coffee, does your body metabolize it faster? Because it knows what that is and it can metabolize it faster.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting question, Diane. Thank you very much for calling in. And Andy, what about that? Is it the more coffee you have more frequently, is it different the way your body responds to it?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So, you know, from my understanding, there is an adaptation that happens on the physiological level a little bit in terms of it gets a little bit scientific because there's something called adenosine receptors. And what coffee does in the body is it essentially temporarily blocks them. And what adenosine does as a compound, and forgive me for getting too scientific, but I'll
That's
loop
okay.
it back
no,
to
it's
the
good.
Question.
It's good. Yeah.
What adenosine does is it accumulates throughout the day and it makes us feel relaxed and tired and sleepy. So if caffeine temporarily blocks that, it, you know, explains partially or fully why we get that temporary alertness and wakefulness. Now, there are definitely differences in how the body expresses certain things like adenosine receptors and so on versus people who drink caffeine versus and people who don't, because there is, with anything else, there is like a mild tolerance that can accumulate over time, which is why someone if someone's used to drinking coffee, you know, they're going to be quite, you know, expectant of the effect and so on. And if someone who never drinks it has a certain amount or above average amount, you know, they're not going to be used to the outcome of that. And they may experience it differently. So to say it as a broad statement that metabolism is totally different, I'm not sure that's true, but there are going to be differences between regular consumers and people who don't consume it on, let's say, a cellular level. How much that matters bigger picture, that's hard to say. But is there a difference? Is there something to that? Yeah, I would say there is.
Excellent. Listen, we have exactly 1 minute left. One last question that I think you can answer in the remaining 54 seconds that we yeah. have. Someone's asking whether if you compare instant coffee with drip coffee, does instant coffee bring the same benefits that you talked about that drip coffee would?
Yeah, so on the whole, I would say yes. I mean, you're getting very specific into the origins and so on, right? You know, that can be hard to answer. But on the whole, in terms of, you know, caffeine, getting polyphenols, are there going to be some differences in the measurable amounts that are dependent on the source? Yes. But on the whole, and studies show this, when a study generally shows that, let's say, drinking 3 cups of coffee a day leads to improvement in this outcome. Usually, all types of coffee count and get included in those types of studies. So that's what I would say to that.
It is not easy to do an AMA, especially on a science-based topic. But Andy, you did a fantastic job. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Andy DeSant is a registered dietitian who runs a private practice in Toronto. That was a portion of Cross Country Checkup's AMA about coffee, energy drinks, and caffeine with Andy DeSantis, a registered dietitian in Toronto. If you'd like to listen to yesterday's full 2-hour edition of Cross Country Checkup, you can stream the podcast on the CBC Listen app. And if you'd like to share comments or appear on the show, go to cbc.ca/aircheck. I'm Ian Hanemansing. Thanks for listening. The next live edition of Checkup airs on CBC Radio, CBC News Network, and CBC News Explore next Sunday.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.